Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. Joining me, regular contributor Rana Fruhart with Time Magazine and Cardiff Garcia with the Financial Times. And with Labor Day behind us and the summer winding down, we're going to take a closer look at how the economy is doing. Is it finally taking off, or is it stuck in a lower gear? Well, later this morning, we're going to get the monthly jobs report, and this is a report that always gets a lot of attention, but it's going to be even more important as we approach the upcoming midterm elections, because how the economy is doing, how people perceive their personal finances, these are issues that can determine who wins elections. So, Rana, what are you paying attention to that's telling you that the economy has turned a corner, that it's good times ahead?
Well, so the last few months, we've seen an uptick in high-quality jobs. So for a while now, the economy in general has been getting better. Unemployment's been going down. But a lot of the jobs that were being created were pretty low-quality jobs, $15 an hour service jobs. Over the last couple of months, we've started to see that change. We're now seeing more middle-market jobs in things like construction, business services, accounting. And these are middle-class jobs. These are good wages. These are the kind of jobs you want to see being created. And if you see more of those, then you may also start to see higher consumer spending. And in an economy that's made up of 70% consumer spending like ours, that's what I see as a formula for a more robust recovery.
Cardiff, what are you looking at?
Yeah, similarly, I'm looking at the pace of jobs growth, which is higher this year than it was last year. And I would draw a contrast to how we all feel now versus how we felt in the first quarter of this year. Remember that we didn't know at the time in that first quarter if it was just a weather-driven blip or if it was something more profound.
This is when the economy actually shrunk in the first part of this year.
Absolutely. And what we've seen so far is that, yes, in fact, it does seem to have been a weather-related problem. And so I've spent the summer, I don't know about you guys, in a state of kind of blessed relief, you know, thankful that things finally do seem to be better. We've seen just this week leading up to the jobs report that most economic indicators from the last couple of months have been really quite good. They've been much better than expected, and I expect that for now to continue.
But do you think that there are also some signs out there that things might get rocky in the future, that we've been here before where we've seen, you know, a good period and then suddenly things made a turn for the worse? Do you think this one's sustained?
That's always quite possible, and I think especially you have to look to policy. There might be a policy mistake. But in this case, I think Janet Yellen is more towards the dovish end of the spectrum on the FOMC, and it is her committee. And finally, fiscal policy.
And when you're talking about dovish and FOMC, you mean that she's very focused on unemployment, not so worried
she's
about rising prices.
She's very focused on unemployment. I think she's especially put a big emphasis on wage growth, which has remained really quite weak so far. And so there's only sort of mild signs that it's been starting to climb lately. So I think rates are going to stay very accommodative for a little while. And fiscal policymakers, crucially, finally are getting out of their own way. They're not exerting a drag on the economy. If we start to see more robust activity in the housing market in particular, which has been mostly moribund in the last year, then I think that'll be a healthy sign. So that and wage growth, I think, are some things to watch. So for now, you know, watch for policy mistakes, but I think I'm fairly confident on that, or watch for external shocks, something to happen overseas or in Europe, you know, depending on what happens there. That's what could throw things off course. But for the most part, I'm relatively optimistic.
You know, on the note about housing, that's an area that I've actually been concerned about for some time. We are not having the kind of housing recovery that we should in this stage of a broader economic recovery. And even more concerning is the fact that the housing recovery that we have had has been very bifurcated. So most of the growth, the increase in housing wealth and housing prices since the crisis in recovery has been really in the top 10 markets. There are a lot of parts of the country that are still suffering, a lot of people still underwater. Credit is still tighter than it should be for people who can't put down large cash deposits. And that's one of the reasons that you've seen a lot of the housing recovery being driven by investors. So big hedge funds and private equity funds coming in, buying up properties, renting them out. That's another reason that rents are growing. More people are renting. Because the average American still keeps the majority of their wealth in housing, it is crucial for housing to become more robust if we want to see a more equally shared recovery.
Well, okay, so here's perhaps an unusual economic indicator that maybe the economy is actually getting better. There was a recent Gallup poll that found that the economy is actually the number three concern for voters, that it's not as big of a concern for them, that they're worried more about non-economic issues like immigration or what's happening overseas. So do you think that in and of itself is a sign that maybe the economy is getting better? People are feeling better about about it, and they're not voting totally based on their pocketbook.
I think that you know, those sorts of polls tend to be a little bit of trailing indicators, and it could just reflect the fact that we've been in a recovery for a few years now. You know, it hasn't always felt like the most robust recovery, but things have been getting better, and I think that the consumer polls reflect that.
It could also reflect the fact that politicians are really, really unpopular right now. I mean, that's sort of a constant, but it doesn't take much to put them back up on that pedestal of hate, so to speak. But I think that's probably a reflection that people are feeling a little bit better, not just about the economy now, but about the prospects for the near future. I hope so.
Well, Rana, Cardiff, to put you on the spot here, if you had to vote, is the economy growing or is it going to be bumpy times ahead, Rana?
Definitely growing, slower than historic trend, but things are getting better.
Growing. I'm feeling good.
Well, what are some of the other stories that you're watching in the weeks ahead, Cardiff?
So this week, a German court decided that Uber was in violation of the country's competition laws because its drivers didn't have the
proper— This is the ride-sharing.
That's right. Didn't have the right licenses and insurance, that kind of thing. So I'm going to be looking in the future to see whether or not regulators— start treating these so-called sharing economy companies the right way, whether or not they're smart about allowing them to operate while also regulating them for things that are actually, you know, for things that make sense, like safety, to make sure they pay their taxes, but not cracking down on them so much that they restrict the usage of companies that really make a lot of people's lives better.
Rana, what are you watching?
Well, I am watching, like so many people, for Apple's big announcement on September 9th. They're doing a major product announcement. Everybody's waiting. It's going to be held in Cupertino, which is where Steve Jobs unveiled the Mac in 84. And I don't know. Will it be an iPhone 6, an iWatch? Who knows?
Well, whether it's the lines out in front of the Mac store here in New York that are already forming or whether or not people can use Uber in the city, these are all stories we're going to be keeping an eye on. Cardiff Garcia with the Financial Times, Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
And if there's a story that you're looking ahead to that you want us to take a closer look at, let us know. Send us an email at moneytalking@WNYC, or you can find us at Money Talking, or you can find me at Charlie Herman. And of course, you can check out this program and all of WNYC's podcasts available on iTunes. I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.